You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 156. And my guest on the show today is Lisa. With a fabulous dream. Well, all our guests bring fabulous dreams. I know you're going to love this one. Very entertaining to listen to and deeply insightful. As always, there's take-home insights for everybody listening. Some of you will immediately relate to Lisa's dream and what's going on in her life. And others of you will find great insight and inspiration through what Lisa is going through and what she has been through. So there's something for everyone. As you know, as you maybe don't know if this is the first time you've listened to the show, when you volunteer to become a guest on The Dream Show, I know nothing about your dream at all, nothing at all, until we start recording. And that is so that as a listener, you can join in the whole thing from hearing the dream for the first time with me and listen to the whole process. Obviously, there's places where we don't go quite as deep as we do in a confidential one-on-one session, because there's some things that we maybe hold back very slightly when it's going to public listening, but we still go very, very deep. So we've just finished recording this conversation with Lisa, and this is me putting the beginning on the show. So I'm about to let you listen, but first of all, just a mention of the websites, which are www.dream.net.au. That's my general website that takes you to everything I do. Then my blog at janetheresa.com, that's Theresa without an H, where I put an article and a dream show every month. And if you want to listen back to the other 155 episodes of The Dream Show, that's where you go. You go to the blog and you click the podcast, or you join on iTunes, where you always have the last 10 episodes. Or you can go to my dream store at janetheresaanderson.com, which links through from all of the above as well. So at the dream store, you might want to buy books, ebooks, or book various kinds of consultations with me, or even train to be an analyst yourself. Go along and have a look and see what's there. Or just find me on Facebook. Enough about me. Enjoy Lisa's dream. Here she is. Welcome to the dream show, Lisa.
Ah, good morning, Jane Theresa.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm really well. It's a beautiful day here in Melbourne. I'm very fine.
That's lovely. The sun's just coming up in Brisbane. It rained overnight. The sun came out, so we went outside prior to doing this recording and sat in the, you know, when the garden's really lovely and wet from rain, but the sun's coming out so full of promise. It was just beautiful, so here we all are, you in Melbourne and us in Brisbane, all feeling uplifted by the beautiful weather. And you've got a dream for me that, of course, I know nothing about. So the stage is yours.
Well, it's a tricky one. It's full of ambivalence and it's a bit provocative. I'm in my grandmother's house. I'm there, and there's a plumber in the back room, the room I used to sleep in at my grandmother's house, and he's lurking around outside to begin with, so he can spy. But then he's put a peephole on the roof above my bed, and he's spying on me. And then he actually comes into the house with a key, and he violates me, and he attacks me and starts to rape me. And at first I resist, but then confusingly I begin to fight him off, and then I sort of want him to continue, and I'm very confused, and I end up liking it. But I still feel incredibly confused in the dream. Now my children are there all of a sudden, and I take the key off him, and I say to him, you can't have our key, you can't have our front door key. And I take it off him and sort of pass it to my younger son behind my back surreptitiously, and he takes it. And then the house becomes my current home, and I'm there with my mother, and we're standing at the kitchen sink, and outside the kitchen window there's a big mob of Aboriginal people, and they're sort of smiling and waving and looking very cheerful and asking us for work. And then some of them have come inside, and there's a few of them inside, and it's a very happy, cheerful sort of atmosphere. And there's a ghost couple, Tom and Mary, an elderly Aboriginal couple, but I realize that they're actually ghosts. And there's a woman outside trimming a grapevine, an overgrown grapevine, and she's talking to me about the vibe in the house, that it's a particularly spiritual sort of house, and that it's a rather special atmosphere here. And then I'm showing off to my mum how I can levitate. And I do that and tell her that, you know, there's a spiritual vibe to the house. And does she feel it? And I ask her if she saw the ghost couple, and she said she did. And I tell her that I'm glad they came and that I feel quite privileged to have them around. So that's essentially the dream.
Oh, what a wonderful dream, so full of all sorts of wonderful pickings in there.
Lots of imagery in that one.
Yeah, you felt privileged. Did the dream end just with that lovely sense of privilege? Or
yes, it did. It was a positive note. It ended up, yeah, I felt that I was very fortunate.
Fortunate, yeah, that's lovely. And how long ago was the dream, Lisa?
About a week. In fact, it was probably Tuesday of last week, I think. Tuesday or Wednesday, one of the two.
Tuesday or Wednesday. Mm. So as usual, when we look at a dream, the dream reflects immediately the day or two before it. So as we go through it, we'll be looking at that as well. Yeah, wonderful. Tom and Mary, as usual, I'm going to jump to the middle of the dream.
Yeah.
Tom and Mary were the Aboriginal ghost couple in the dream. Are they people that you do know, or were they totally dream people?
No, they're not, because I can't think of a Tom and Mary. Of course, I know Marys and I know Toms, but I don't know or haven't known a couple called Tom and Mary. Not that I can remember. I'm not sure who they are.
And they're not necessarily Aboriginal names. Well, Mary maybe, but not Tom.
That's right. Tom and Mary.
So without thinking about it at all, although you probably have put some thought into the dream, but try not to think about it anymore. Tom, not the Tom and Mary in a dream, but what kind of personality would someone called Tom have?
Well, it strikes me as cheery and, I suppose, a fairly essential male sort of person. I guess someone who's sort of... Tom is, I guess, a happy-go-lucky sort of basic fellow, you know. It doesn't... not someone sort of deeply worldly or sophisticated. I suppose it's conscious of a country worker. Maybe just the raw male sort of thing. I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, that makes... That
someone
makes
trustworthy, sense. I guess. That's what comes to mind. Someone trustworthy.
Trustworthy, yeah. Mm. And Mary, the same exercise with Mary?
Someone called Mary. Again, I think it's a cosy, familiar, trustworthy sort of reliable, salt-of-the-earth sort of character.
Okay, that's lovely. And they were the ghosts in the dream, and they were Aboriginal as well.
They were, definitely.
Do you have any personal association with Aboriginal?
No, whatsoever. I'm not even Australian.
No.
So, there's so much presence in that dream, so that's really intriguing.
Yeah. And what's your feeling for Aboriginal, the Aboriginal people or nation in general?
I thought you might ask me that, and I've been thinking about that, because it is, I guess, you know, on one hand there's that association with, you know, extreme dysfunction in some of the remote communities, and we know about that, but there's also a history of, you know, oppression and, you know, incredible courage and grace and continuing disadvantage.
Yes.
So there are mixed impressions, mixed feelings.
Yeah.
I guess there's a problematic aspect that's very hard for anyone to resolve with, you know, some of the, with the dysfunction in some of the places. So insoluble problems in some ways, and yet, you know, incredible courage in others.
Yeah, almost that sense of, from what you're saying there, some problems may eventually be able to be solved or addressed, but at heart some that never will be, and therefore finding the grace and the courage to live with what is left and make the most of it, that kind of thing.
For sure. Yeah.
Also, a lot of people will, I think we'll be going with the theme that you've got there, but I also often see in dreams where people have Aboriginal people come into the dream, there's sometimes that sense of going back to what was original within your own life, almost a play on words. You know, we can't take the dream dictionary approach, of course, but our dreaming minds, particularly with people that love words, you know, and you express yourself so eloquently, you obviously do, our dreams will often use word play as well as part of our symbology. So that sense of Aboriginal, you know, from my original self, from my original past, from deep in my personal history, there can be that sense too. And the reason why I mention that, Lisa, is because your dream begins at your grandmother's house, and you said, oh, you know, it's at the bedroom where I used to sleep. So it's really the beginning of the dream is like way back. And I'm going to pause in a minute and explain to our listeners why I've just said the dream reflects the last 1 to 2 days, and your dream starts right back there. We will go into that very shortly. But at the moment, that's why I'm thinking that that Aboriginal element in your dream may also go back to the Aboriginal Lisa way back then, and how you know how you're dealing with it. But I'm just going to press pause and explain to everyone listening in, for those that are new to the show and new to the way that I approach dreams. Your dreams reflect the last 1 to 2 days of your conscious and your unconscious experiences. So whatever was going on for you that you were conscious of, and whatever that was going on for you that you weren't conscious of but was bubbling away in your unconscious mind or just sort of slipped by unnoticed, is processed at night by your dreaming brain or your dreaming mind, as your dreaming brain and your dreaming mind try to make sense of your world. Now, what will happen is that as we process the last couple of days, our dreaming mind will go, that's a familiar feeling. That's like when you were three. And then some part of your dream will go back to when you were three, or will go back to symbolically address or look at something that happened when you were three, or feelings or beliefs that you got when you were three. So there's that sense of, while our dreams may refer to the past, and hey, it's wonderful that they do, because sometimes we need to go back to the past to understand our belief systems, to understand our emotions, to understand our take on life, so that we can then think, okay, so that's where I'm coming from in life now. If I want to make a change, I need to adjust that. That's really good. We begin by just relating the dream to the day or two before. Where did this come up in the day or two before? So that's, I can unpress pause now and go back to speaking to you, Lisa.
Righty-ho.
So, yes, the plumber. Right, let's just go to the beginning of the dream, the plumber. The plumber who literally literally plumbed you in the dream.
Yes.
And what's your feeling about the archetypal kind of plumber? What's a plumber? What's the kind of personality of a plumber of the kind that you met in your dream, pre-rape, pre-violation in the dream?
Well, yeah, that's right, sort of disassociated from that. Again, it's an essential male. It's an essential, I suppose, rugged male, tradie figure. That's very, very masculine. That's something about the masculine, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And when your children were present in the dream and you gave the key to the youngest son, are all your children male?
Yes, I've got two sons, and in my dream they're little souls. The son I hand the key to is about 3 or 4, which is the age that I lived at my grandmother's house. So.
Ah, yes, wonderful. Okay, and of your two sons too, are either of your sons have that kind of basic male sort of the earth character, or definitely not?
No, not really, actually. No, they're very city-wide, urban sort of kids. And not sort of especially practical, actually, neither of them.
Yeah. Okay, that's wonderful. That's fantastic. Mm. Right, so we've got the feeling there that the dream begins at your grandma's house, and you're back in the room that you used to be, and there's a sense of a peephole. So at the time of the dream, within the couple of days before that, there was also perhaps the sense of getting back in touch, or whatever happened in the couple of days before the dream, some part of you got back in touch with the feelings that you had when you used to stay at your grandma's house. So there'll be some connection between what was happening for you the day or two between the dream and what was happening for you back then, and or sort of going back and comparing how far I've come since then. There was a reason to kind of reflect back on those days. So when you did live at your grandma's house, you've just said you were aged 3 to 4 then, like your son. Were you actually living there or just visiting?
Yes. It was the house that I spent my first 4 years in.
Your first 4 years. So you, was your grandma your main guardian?
Yes.
Okay. And was your grandma salt of the earth kind of person?
Yes and no. Look, yes, in a way, yes. I mean, she's kind on one level, but problematic on others. But she certainly, you know, she stopped work to look after me while my mum went to work, because my mum was unmarried, and that was in the early 60s and all the rest of it. So it was a big deal in those times.
So so without drawing a huge comparison, both your grandma and your mum had that... not complete connection with Aboriginal, but that connection with courage and grace, you know, because you said that it was problematic for them both, particularly in those days in the 60s, that connection with successfully or otherwise, continuing with courage and grace in the face of adversity.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yeah, I was meant to be adopted because my mum wasn't married when she had me, but they decided to keep me. And I think that was quite a courageous act in those days.
Oh, how absolutely wonderful.
Mm,
And there's a connection with the Aboriginal nation there, I guess, you know, with stolen children being adopted out.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was a tricky situation where I spent, for the first 9 months of my life, I spent with another woman, and my mum was, you know, deeply ashamed of having a child, and so during the week she had me staying with someone who took in babies, and then I came home for the weekend until I was about 9 or 10 months old, and then after that I lived full time with my grandmother and my mother at my grandmother's house.
So yes,
but there are sort of residences
and multiple carers.
Yes.
Yeah. So by the time you were 3 or 4, I guess you were, when you, which was the age that your son was when you gave him the key in the dream, I guess by then you were becoming more conscious of how many carers you had, or did you know that you knew that your mum was your real mum?
Yes, that's right. And at that age, she actually married somebody, and we moved away from my grandmother's house at 4. So 4 was a very significant age, because things, my world changed dramatically.
And was that a good marriage that your mum had?
Ah, no.
So that was problematic too. So there's this kind of general theme there of how to deal with what may or may not be, what may or may not feel like insoluble problems, and you know, through the Aboriginal, your feelings about the Aboriginal race, through your grandma, through your mum, through your mum's marriage to somebody that also turned out to be problematical. And so you were brought up very much with all sorts of feelings, I imagine, but especially with trying to resolve all of that within yourself. How much can I resolve, and how much can I go forward with a different kind of courage and grace within my life? What can I make from this? And whether you were aware of that as a child, which you probably weren't, there's a sense in this dream of a growing awareness, or if you've already had the awareness of an increased kind of locking in of, yes, this is the path I'm on. A lot of that hardship is beginning to make sense to me now. I'm beginning to realize that, you know, what I can take forward when there are so many things in my life that I can address and feel comfortable with, and there's other things that if I can't address them, I accept them as being potentially unresolved, but I can take from them a kind of courage and grace that I may never have been able to achieve unless I had been presented with the kind of life that I have been, that kind of feeling.
Absolutely, yes.
Which by the end of the dream, with your feelings of being privileged and fortunate, give that kind of feeling there. You know, other people might look at the details of your life and go, call that fortunate, call that privileged. And you'd be going, yes, actually, yes. Yes, that is very privileged. That is very fortunate. I would not be where I am now if I hadn't been through what I've been. There's a sense of, I'm going to go much deeper, Lisa, but there's a sense in this dream of this becoming clearer than it's ever been before, particularly with that sense of, this is a spiritual house. Look, Mum, I can levitate. Look, I can rise above. I can levitate. I can rise above all sorts of things.
That's so fabulous. I had a similar conversation with my oldest son recently, and he said, you know, if you hadn't had the life you had, you wouldn't be such a good mum. And, of course, you know, I had tears in my eyes and said, thank you, son. But then I realised he was absolutely right. You know, I wouldn't be me if I hadn't been through the things I've been through. Which sounds very trite, but when you realise it on a sort of quite deep level, it is affecting And certainly around that time I was thinking those thoughts. So absolutely spot on, as usual.
So you had the conversation with your son just prior to the dream?
About the same time, about the time a week ago, more or less. Mm. Just thinking about, you know, my early life and, you know, the various adversities that I had to deal with. And he just said, look, you know, if you hadn't had the life you had, you wouldn't be such a good mum to us.
That is so wonderful.
It's a lovely thing to hear. And he's only 19.
And therefore, what a wonderful mum you were and are to have a 19-year-old who is so wise. Hopefully, although we're going to do some more with the dream here, hopefully for our many listeners too, this is encouraging for people that are maybe at a earlier stage in their life when they are feeling that they've had a bad deal and that things are tough compared to the kind of lives that maybe they look around and see other people experiencing. And we would all prefer to have an easier and more loved life in our earlier years, but when we at a later stage, at some stage, open our eyes and see the gifts within that, then it's astounding, isn't it?
It is. It's a powerful thing, and if you can allow yourself that, it's a huge gift in itself.
In a sense, you have allowed that in the dream because you've taken that key. I know we're jumping all over the dream here, but you've taken that key and that you've given it to your 3 to 4 year old son. So we will look at what exactly that key means, but there is that positive sense of look after this for me. Here is the key to something. And the key always has to be a positive
symbol. It has to be. Just the key is such a significant and obvious sort of symbol of.
I mean, even if he's going to open a Pandora's box that you didn't even know you had, at the end of looking through it, it's going to be a positive thing. But usually it's like, well, yeah, I get it.
You've
here's something,
do something
wonderful.
Something with that key.
Yeah. So there's a sense at that handing your son that key that, in, as you've already picked up, you said, well, your son was 3 to 4 in the dream and you were left your grandma's house at 4. So there is a sense of looking at that he may represent some aspect of you at age 3 to 4 and you now being able to go back and say, you know, at 3 to 4, some of the difficulties or emotional feelings that I was going through have actually enabled me to have the key to see my life or do my life in a different way, and it's akin to going back and giving my 3 or 4 year old self this new way of unlocking and looking at life. Because sometimes, you know, even though of course we are ourselves at our current age, there are some aspects of our perspective on life or aspects of our feelings that are still in the hands of our younger selves, whether that's your inner child or whatever. You know, if there's a part of yourself from age 3 to 4 that has an emotion that hasn't been healed, that has that learned a belief, and I'm only making a guess at yours. This isn't from the dream. You know, you may have had a feeling of, oh, I'm being taken away from, you know, a place where I feel safe and secure from my grandma's house to go and live with a strange man. I don't feel comfortable about this. I don't know, you know, maybe a sense of distrust. That's not in the dream. That's just an example. That if at age 3 to 4 you had a feeling of sudden, I don't quite trust, then that, if that was never resolved or something good never came of it, then even at whatever age you are now, that little child lives within going, I'm not so sure about that, I be careful, don't trust, until we go back and redress it. So there's that feeling of giving maybe the part of yourself that was age 3 to 4, even though you picture him as male, and we'll come into that later, a new key. So it's almost like going back and going, okay, although you've seen this as a difficulty throughout your life, and much as at my current age I've been doing life the way that I know it should be done, there's this unconscious thing kind of tripping me up all the time, and now I'm going back and giving it a key so that we can just unlock that one and move ahead. How are we doing so far?
Yes, it's making perfect sense to me. It's hugely accurate.
Okay, including the trust thing?
Oh, yes, most definitely. Yeah, and you've hit that word, because one of the things I've been thinking about is trust and trust of men and all the feelings around men. So I think the presence of these apparently threatening male characters, it's no accident.
No, not at all. And so lovely then that you picture that with the giving of the key to your 3 to 4 year old self, that instead of picturing giving it to a dream little girl, you picture of giving it to a boy.
My own little boy.
Your own little boy, yes. Who, of course, you trust your own children infinitely, so there are men that you do trust and love. Yeah. So that's really interesting. And I guess I picked that idea of the trust, even though it wasn't in the dream, because you said that Tom and Mary were trustworthy people.
Yes, that's right. And it's exactly the sort of thing I was thinking about at the time when I was having the dream.
So there's that sense that the dream will obviously reflect the last day or two. And as you say, that consciously you were reflecting upon issues of trust, whether you trust men or not, how you feel about men in general. That was one of many things that you were looking at, including the conversation that you'd had with your son about the privileges and fortunes of a difficult and problematical childhood and the wisdoms to be gained from that. So all of that is being processed here in the dream. And because it's such a positive dream, because, you know, once we get past the rape and everything, it ends on such a positive note, there's that sense of what your dreaming mind has done that night, Lisa, is come to a new sense of peace. It was reflecting upon where you were reflecting possibly positively before you went to sleep, but it's got the sense of taking it a step further and going, okay, we're going to wake up and we're going to have a slightly changed vision of the world. Too often what our dreams do is cement our old perspective. Same old, that's just how life is, that's how life is, and we dig ourselves into deeper and deeper concrete ruts. Your dream's got the sense of your dreaming brain has actually been able to put, oh, that's interesting, let's put that together with that together with that together. Let's continue some of the reflections from the couple of days before and let's move it along a bit. Let's shift the vision. Did you wake up feeling, apart from feeling good from the dream, feeling that life has been a bit different the last week since you've had the dream?
Look, it has. It's been very active up till fairly recently, and I've had some interesting connections that have given me reason to reflect on all of these things about sort of men and my feelings about men, and I certainly have felt a shift in my attitudes and just a sense of increasing possibility rather than the other way around. You know, sometimes you feel as you're getting older that things are narrowing, possibilities are narrowing, but I'm actually feeling the opposite in my life, that I'm about to stride forward and life is, you know, becoming broader and vaster and wider rather than the other way around, which is really lovely at 53, I have to say.
Congratulations, it's fantastic.
Good feeling, yes.
It's funny when you're so much younger and you look ahead and you think, oh my God, 40, that's old, 50, that's ancient, 60, that's past it. And then you travel through these ages yourself and gradually the penny drops and you go, In a sense, there's less responsibilities. In a sense, there's more freedom to think differently. In a sense, there's a bit more reflective time.
And the wonderful flowering off of public opinion. That's liberating of all, I think.
You can all think what you like. This is where I'm at. It's fantastic. That's lovely. And hey, you, anybody out there, all our younger listeners, take heed. It's true. It's fantastic. It's a wonderful feeling. And well done, Lisa, for getting there. So we've got that there, which is really beautiful. So you go back to the beginning of the dream and you've got the plumber and the peephole. So we've already got that feeling at the beginning of the dream. And the beginning of the dream will often set the theme for this is what we're dreaming about, this is what we're processing. So the theme is I'm in a comfortable place, I'm going back as I was in my early childhood, and all of a sudden things are uncomfortable. All of a sudden there's this feeling about the plumber, about being spied upon, about not being comfortable. And then there's a violation and the rape, which although you end up liking, at the beginning, of course, you don't like it because you call it a violation. So there's the beginning of the dream of that sense of, not even getting the opportunity not to trust the essential male there. You didn't even have the opportunity not to trust him. It's like, this is your deal, get on with it, you're being violated. But as it went on, there's that feeling of, and this is where it's so important to stand back from, it's so important that you can be in a dream and it is so shocking, like there's a rape or a murder or a partner's betraying you, and it's so shocking that you actually, no matter how good you are at understanding your dreams that you wake up and start to relate it literally, because it's who we are as human beings to start to relate strong emotions to the literal aspects of the dream, like the rape. And the important thing is to stand back and see that as symbolic. So there's the feeling at the beginning of the dream of, I was in a lovely, comfortable space way back in my past, and I felt violated. I felt, you know, what should have been me was eaten away at the edges. Something was taken away from me, and it had to do with an essential male kind of factor, which in a way you've related to perhaps your views of moving out to live with a new male, but there'd be more to it than that. But what is lovely about the dream is that as the rape continues, and while I'm saying this is lovely, of course rape is not lovely, this is a symbol, it is not rape, it is a dream symbol. As the dream continues, you go through confusion, and then you decide that you like it and you get a key from it. So it's this sense of something that I didn't trust or that I wasn't happy with, the essential male, and I have reasons going way back to my childhood not to trust this, has led me through actually a state of confusion and perhaps into a new era in my life where I'm beginning to be okay with merging with, which is a kind of rape thing, I guess, with merging with, well, not a rape thing, but there is an intimacy in the dream. It moves from being a rape to an intimacy. I'm feeling okay with merging with this all-male kind of thing. I'm getting something from this. That on the one hand, but on the other hand, it's because you give the key to the 3 to 4-year-old, there's also that sense of, I like that I had such a violated, difficult childhood that it has brought me to a place of grace and courage. And I like that, even though I had to go through that, I have gained something from that. So that's kind of like the beginning of the dream. Do you think?
Oh, yes. That's true. That is true.
So then that's when you then shoot from there to your current home. Now, even though you gave that key to your 3 to 4-year-old son, and we've said, look, that's probably you at 3 to 4, and to some extent, your feelings about men and not trusting them and kind of salt of the earth men at age 3 to 4 may have shaped your male side. You know, and it could have gone either way. It could have gone that you then had to become your own salt of the earth because you weren't going to trust any men to do it for you, and you had to become very practical and very grounded. Or it would have gone the complete opposite. I'm going to be so super sophisticated in my approach to the outer world, which is your male side. You know, it's going to be the one extreme or the other.
Which, to think about that, sort of makes sense. I'm just processing that.
We'll come back to that probably. But you can also then look at a dream and just ask a question, because sometimes dreams do these amazing parallels where you go, 3 to 4 years old, yeah, that's so spot on. That's what was happening for me when I was 3 to 4. But you can also sometimes go back 3 to 4 years. Now, because it was your younger son being aged 3 to 4 in the dream, I'm pretty sure it was all about the younger you, because in a sense you look at your child and that's the younger you. If it had been just a dream boy, any old little boy, 3 to 4, we would have said, oh, this is something that's been in your life for 3 to 4 years. What was happening 3 to 4 years ago? So it's probably not as relevant because he was pictured as your younger son, but nevertheless, what was happening for you 3 to 4 years ago?
3 to 4 years ago. Oh, look, I would have been, struggling with a difficult relationship. Where are we? 2004, 2009. I was studying, actually. I was studying full-time and intensely involved with my creative side, with my creative self, my artistic self. I was studying an art course full-time.
So you were definitely not doing the sort of plumber version of life. You were doing the art course side of life.
No, very much so. Doing watercolours.
the softer forms of the fine arts. That's beautiful. The lovely flowing feminine.
Pretty little drawings.
So you are approach to
it wasn't
to the
even
other...
rugged sort of sculpture or anything. It was pretty little drawings with paintbrushes.
That is so beautiful. So you were deeply in the feminine and doing all sorts of beautiful creative things, but struggling, but struggling with a relationship with an essential male?
Yes.
Was that the last struggling relationship you've had?
That's right.
The most recent, okay. So so it would also make sense then to go back 3 or 4 years and give the key to yourself during the last relationship, which was a struggling one, as far as, you know, you were in a happy space within yourself and your what you were doing artistically and in your world, but you were in a struggling relationship. So it's going back and giving that part of yourself the key. Now think how positive that is. If you're giving yourself the key, even if we don't go ahead and find out what it is, but we will, you know that future relationships, you've got the key.
Ah, beautiful.
Yeah, yes. To not struggle.
Yes, it's not just about my little self, but it's about my little self and the self 3 or 4 years ago. That's really lovely.
It blows me away every time you look at that, but it does happen that way. And, you know, that's where, much as we try in our waking lives to be logical and analytical as far as we can, there are some things that just remain mystical that we can never understand, but we notice how they work and we can bring that into the dream stuff. So you have that sense at that point, okay, I've got the key, even though we're not saying what it is at the moment, I've got the key. Then the next thing in the dream is you're in your current home with your mum. So we know at that point we've gone back, we've revisited the past, we've got a key, and we're now bringing it up to, okay, how can I apply that in my current life now?
Yes.
And mum may represent you as a mum because you had that conversation with your son and he said about what a good mum you were. And also because you say to your mum in the dream, look, mum, I can levitate. Can you do that? And she said yes, didn't she?
I'm not sure now. I can't remember if she did. I think she said yes, that she'd seen the ghosts.
But she'd seen the ghosts.
I wasn't sure whether she said that she could levitate. I actually can't remember. But I know that I'm sort of showing off to her.
That's wonderful. So you may have...
Mum, no hands, no feet.
Crash. No, that's really wonderful. Mm. So she may be about your relationship with your actual mum and how you perceive that.
Probably, because she's been around recently, so there will be some of that there, definitely.
So some of rising above and seeing the ghosts of the past for her, seeing her own ghosts and seeing the ghosts of your past relationship struggles with her as well.
Yes.
Yeah. But being able to levitate above it. So you're in your current home. It's probably both about your relationship with your mum and your relationship with your own self as a mum, and realizing that one of the wonderful attributes you've got as a mum is not only that you are a fabulous person out there in the arts world doing wonderful things with your children grown up and wise, but also suddenly realizing in your 50s that life actually opens up rather than closes down. You can levitate, you've got all those wonderful things, and you're also noticing this wonderful courage and grace that you've got from adversity that you would never have had if you hadn't been through that, which is wonderful. And you're bringing that right into your current home. And that is where the Aboriginal people in the dream make the entrance. They're outside, you bring them in. They're trustworthy people. You've got the sense of, yes, I am ready now. Trusting is not something that's out there and unrelated to me. I'm ready to bring this into my own self, into my own home now. I'm ready to trust salt of the earth. In every part of my being.
That makes sense.
And they're ghost-like because, in a sense, my feeling is that on two levels, one, you haven't been able to see them up till now. They've been ghosts. Oh, yeah, you can come back in now. I can give you form. You can be part of my world. But by the same token, a ghost is kind of something that is maybe a ghost from the past, you know, something that's lived on, well, I guess it's the same, lived on that you haven't been able to see, that haunts you to an extent.
Yes.
And that haunting of, I've got to keep trust is something that's out there. It's not something that I have in my life. It's a ghost from the past that you can bring in. But the ghost can also be literally that, a ghost from the past. Once in your life you trusted, at maybe, we don't know, at maybe 0, 1, 2, 3, we don't know this. And then it became a ghost, something that was dead and gone, that's being brought back into your life. There was the reference to a grapevine, which sounded... Yeah. Tell me more about that in the dream.
just a woman now. I don't know who she is, but she's outside, and the grapevine's just out the back of the sort of kitchen area of the house. And she's just talking about the house. She's trimming an overgrown grapevine, and she's just talking about the deeper spiritual vibe of this particular house.
Mm. And it's
telling me.
Go on.
Yeah, just telling me that this house is special and that there's a particular spiritual aspect to it.
And is that grapevine actually a grapevine in your current
house? No, it's not. We don't actually have a grapevine out there.
Mm. So talk to me about grapevines in general.
Oh, the source of wine. Grapevines are lovely traditional plants that have been around forever and produce grapes, which are the source of a joyous thing in my life.
So there you go. Traditional, been around forever. That sounds like Aboriginal to me. Traditional, been around forever, and that produced something that is a wonderful source of pleasure in your life. And of course, you know, to make the wine from the grape is a sense of the grape.
Process.
Yeah. And decay, the kind of the grape kind of decays a bit, doesn't it?
Oh, that's true, yeah. It does.
Michael's putting faces at me like I've got that scientifically wrong.
They get put in a barrel and stomped on too.
Maybe that's more accurate, yeah.
Crushed. Crushed before the beauty is revealed.
You've got it, Lisa. So you have in your life had something wonderful and traditional and ancient that has been crushed in order to be brought to maturity. And when you bottle the wine, you have to leave it in the bottle for quite a while to mature as well. So there's that sense of a long wait for something to come to fruition and maturity. And when it does, it is, and particularly because you love fine wines, it's something that when it does come to fruition and maturity, it is just so beautiful that it's been worth the wait. But definitely definitely the way that I said you talked to me about grapevines, you straight away went traditional, been around forever, got right. Aboriginal. So there's that sense of trimming the grapevine, you know, so in your own life at the time of the dream in particular, cutting away what isn't needed, deciding on which direction you want the grapevine of your life to grow, which shoots you want to become the main shoots rather than it shooting all over the place and going in all directions. And being reassured in the dream that your dreaming self is very confident and sure that you are now in touch with the spiritual vibe that works for you, that you are special.
Yes. Now that makes a lot of sense. It really does. All sorts of ways.
Yeah. So because we're spending a lot of long and lovely time on this dream, we do need to begin to draw it together. If you could... I don't want you to reveal too much about your life, but do you feel that there's one thing in particular from all of this that you'd like to take forward with you from the dream?
Very much about the aspect of trust, because I think it's something that, yes, it's been a huge challenge for me to trust men for various reasons, you know, to do with my childhood and experiences, and that's probably the greatest challenge I have is to be open to really being able to, yes, to trust that someone isn't going to violate me. Basically,
yes,
either spiritually, psychically, you know, not obviously not physically, but that my deeper self is safe. That's my biggest, I suppose, challenge in life.
Yeah. Okay, we'll work on that for the alchemy. And of course, it's so clear, just to reiterate for people listening in, to see how you could have that feeling of your deeper self not being safe because of for everybody doing the very best that they could at the time in your youngest years, that's still that feeling of maybe multiple people looking after you and picking up on some of the vibes that they may have had about that at the time. And now being ready. So there's that sense also, as you're speaking, of not wanting to be violated, that feeling of how do I trust without being violated spiritually, mentally, emotionally? And it's that sense of, I guess, also just knowing that even in a relationship where you totally trust, it's still important for your partner to see your the shape of you. You know, this is where you step, this is where you don't step.
Yes.
You know, it's not like Trusting isn't saying, here I am, I'm a doormat, I totally trust you, so tread all over. I'm a grape, I totally trust you, so crush me. It's not saying that. It's saying, I'm a grape, I totally trust you, here are my boundaries. You can do whatever you like, but you don't crush me. whatever. So what I'm saying is, although that sounds rather obvious, as I'm saying, it begins with you knowing what you want and then making that very clear. And in a sense, there's that feeling in the grapevine in the dream. Where are you going to prune it? Which direction do you want it to go? What kind of fruit do you want it to bear? These are parts of the keys of the relationship. And having that total trust in a partner, not a trust to say, I'm an open door, come in and shit, I hope you don't violate me. The trust is, here I am, this is what I want, this is what I don't want, this is where you tread, this is where you don't tread. I trust you to respect all of that and for us to be able to grow together. So there's a kind of fine line, and could it be that we could have a combination of trimming the grapevine and working with the key to for you to become clear about what that sense of yourself is?
Oh, yes, it sounds good. It's strong, strong symbols.
Yeah.
And again, very traditional ones, very old symbols of all sorts of things.
And I love that they're those old symbols, because it means that it's reminding you in essence that this isn't something that you're just bringing into your life now. It's something that you're going, okay, I'm going back to do alchemy on this, or to transform this from way back in my past, and that is the strength it's going to give me. You know, imagine that grapevine, look below the soil, look at the roots. No matter how you prune it above the ground, it's got roots that go on forever. You know, so it's going back in essence to those roots and adjusting those as well, that you know, that's the old ancient tradition that is also going to affect how the grapevine feels. And also, to me, there's that sense of, particularly because you say, or the woman in the dream, everyone in a dream is a part of yourself, says this, the spiritual vibe is right, it is special. There's that sense of the traditional, the aboriginal, what's been here forever is not only the sense of yourself now as you are now, Lisa, but however you've ever been throughout time prior to this life or whatever your beliefs are. It's contacting that whole essence, and this is where I'm up to, and bringing it into your life now. So although if I were working with you in a non-public way through the dream show, we would actually go in and name some of the stuff and work with it more deeply, and you can probably go and do that. But from an alchemy point of view, I have some ideas. Do you have some ideas about what kind of alchemy you'd like to do with this dream?
I haven't sort of thought that much, actually. I was still just thinking about the symbols, and I was reflecting more on the past. I hadn't really thought about the alchemy, apart from perhaps opening something with the key, and whether there was a symbol or an image that I could, you know, apply the key to.
I think so, yeah. Well, the dream ends positively. You give the key, so that we don't want to transform something. There's nothing in this dream that is negative that we want to transform into positive. Your dream has done that. We want to enhance and further open it up. So your 3 to 4 year old self has the key, which is good. You invite in the salt of the earth, trustworthiness, which is good. The moment you do that, you notice that there's a wonderful spiritual vibe, but you also notice that the grapevine needs to be pruned for this. And you end up being able to levitate and rise above it. So there's all of that sense. So what did the key look like in the dream?
I think it was, a smallish but fairly old-fashioned sort of key with the, you know, the ones with the curly sort of ends, and like the old cast iron keys. Definitely an old key, not a modern Yale or anything like that.
Oh, beautiful. So in that curliness on the key, and we do want to use that because it relates to the past as well and tradition, in that curliness on the key, was there anything grapeviney and tendrily about that?
Yes, I think so. Just a smallish one, but definitely, yeah, that sort of Art Nouveau sort of design on the end.
How about for an alchemy, having some sense of the taking the key, because we want you to use this key and take it forward in life, having this key and working with the Art Deco kind of aspect of the key, working that into a grapevine?
Ah, all right. Is that me? Well, I meant actually. are you all right? So the key grows. The key
yes.
starts sprouting.
Yes.
Oh.
All right. So you've got the key because the key is going to open. It's going. We've got the key. You've got the key to trusting in the dream. That's good. But you've also got the hint in the dream that you need to prune the grapevine in order to focus on what it is that you actually want and which parts of your life you want to grow. So we want to use a key to focus on what we do want to open up and grow and unlock. So I'm thinking by combining the two symbols, they become more powerful.
Good heavens, yes. All right, so the key can grow into a grapevine and then I can be very conscious about the pruning of it.
Mm. Mm. So do you want to work with this as a visualization or in some kind of art form or writing form? Or what modality would you like?
Oh, I'm thinking writing, it would be good.
Writing, great. Mm. Okay. So back of my head's going, and I have to do it because my back of my head's going, you know the story of Jack and the Beanstalk?
Yes.
Well, do a modern day take on Jack and the Beanstalk. Somehow, just use that as some kind of inspiration. Let that go immediately, but that kind of feeling. But use the sense of the key from your dream and the importance of letting a grapevine grow according to the direction that you want it to grow. And perhaps with that feeling at the end of the dream about levitate, that feeling at the end of the dream is I can rise above this, I have the courage, the grace, these are the things that I've learned through life. So perhaps to have that sense in the story of as your key grows into the grapevine of your choice, pruned in the way that you want it, that you actually have that sense either in the story of levitating, of rising above, to actually watch the growing tip of it and having total trust in that levitation, that everything that happens to you from that point forward is in alignment with that growth at that tip, because you have not only chosen it, but you have defined it. You've not said, this is an open door, come crush my grapes. You've said, this is where I am. If you're here too, see this is me, come with me, grow this way.
Oh, wonderful.
Okay.
Yes, that's really lovely. Yeah.
Enjoy it. And with any writing, and this is for people listening in too, these don't have to be major opuses. You know, if you choose a writing dream alchemy, whether it's to enhance a symbol like this or whether it's to transform a negative dream symbol or filling into a positive one, which is basically rewiring and reprogramming your unconscious mind, you can turn it into a novel that becomes a New York Times bestseller if you wish. But really, the idea is usually to write a one-page story. And I often say, although it depends on the dreamer, I often say write it for a child, because it means you have no expectations on yourself, no grand expectations when you set out to write the story. It's just a story for a child. And also because, as in your case, Lisa, you know, you might be writing it for yourself at age 3 to 4. So put it in that language, and you may be expressing that story for that part of yourself as well as for your adult self. But really, whatever the writing turns into is wherever it's going.
Lovely.
Any questions before we let you go and write your story?
No, I've just got a lot to think about now, so I'm sort of happy with that, I suppose. The one thing I thought about was having the, you know, the faces at the window, but then they came in, and I thought that was something that meant that things that perhaps I'd seen as problematic, I was able to invite in and feel comfortable with now. That was also part of a dream that made me wonder about aspects of myself that I'd perhaps been distanced from.
Yes.
That I was inviting in to work with.
Well, and that's exactly right, because you saw them as trustworthy and you were inviting back the parts of yourself that had lost that sense of trust.
Yes.
So it's not and in a sense trusting yourself, I guess, being trustworthy, trusting yourself and your feelings and emotions, as opposed to having the wool pulled over your eyes by the wrong people.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly pertinent to the last few months, so yeah, deeply interesting stuff as ever.
Well, enjoy the writing. Do email me and let me know how you go with it.
And
thank you very much for your gift of sharing your wonderful dream and your wonderful self too on the Dream Show for all our listeners. It's very much appreciated.
Thank you so very much. Cheers.
Thank you. And although we've just stopped recording and you've listened to everything there, I just contemplating and had one final thought on Lisa's dream, which I'll I'm just about to email to her. And that as she did ask at the end there, what was it about the trustworthy ghost Aboriginal couple, Tom and Mary, that she invited into a home? And we went into it in the dream. But there is an additional thing, and I only when we stopped recording did I really understand what Lisa's question was there. She said, is it a part of myself? So she was obviously thinking that she has not been trustworthy herself. It's about bringing the trustworthy people into herself, into her home. In the dream, is that sense of bringing home a sense of trusting herself to go into future relationships and feel that, you know, can I trust these future partners? It's really, particularly if you've just listened to the essence of Lisa's dream, it's about, can I trust myself to relate to the partner or to communicate to the partner what I want, what I don't want, where my partner can tread, where they can't tread, where they can value the grape or value the wine but not do the crushing, where they can, how can I trust myself? And I must trust myself. I'm now going to be trusting myself to choose how to prune the grapevine rather than let it grow all over the place. So it's bringing back that sense of home, of not bringing back within herself that sense of, not that she hasn't been a trustworthy person to other people. I'm sure everybody has trusted her. She's such a beautiful, lovely lady. But it's that sense of trusting herself. If we don't trust ourselves, that's when things can go wrong. You know, we start to wobble, we become confused, we're not so sure. We give other people the benefit of the doubt about what we should trust or not trust. It's about having that strength, those deep roots of trusting yourself first. And in the dream, she brings that back into her sense of self, into her sense of home. So that's it for another episode of The Dream Show. Just a reminder of the websites again, dream.net.au, janetheresa.com, and the dream store at janetheresaanderson.com. If you've enjoyed this episode, please do share with friends, acquaintances, colleagues. We all dream, and many, many people would love to gain a deeper insight and understanding, not only into their dreams, but of course the purpose of gaining a deeper insight into your dreams is to gain a deeper insight into your life. That's what it's all about. So enjoy, have a wonderful month. Some of you I know I'll be speaking to between now and then in consultations. And our next episode, episode 157, will be coming out on the 17th of October 2014. Have a wonderful month. Thank you for listening and sharing. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Theresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one in the Lifestyle Pod Network section of iTunes.